Hey, it's your man KJ. We back. Dr. Sai, what you got for me this year?
You rocking with the village. Let's get it.
We back, y'all. 2017.
Welcome to the village. Welcome to the village. It's your man KJ. Angie, how you doing, girl? What's going on with you?
I'm tired.
I feel you, girl. And I'm over here sick, fighting this little cold. That's why I was like, okay, let's get in here, get after it, so we not up all night. You know what I mean? Because this is definitely one of those nights where it's like, okay, let's get after it, let's do it, and let's go from there. All right, so Slink is going to join us a little bit later for the podcast. He's having some technical difficulties trying to podcast from his phone, I believe. Never done that. Didn't know there was a Crowdcast app, but apparently there is. So I'm going to look into that. So anyways, Village, we got a bunch of topics to discuss tonight. Got the lovely Anhelana in the Village, and let's get after it. So this first current event, Angie, let's talk about this terror attack in New York City and what it actually means. First of all, to all those that were affected by this, to all the victims, the families, you have the village offers our deepest condolences, because that was absolutely tragic what this man did. He's like the mayor said, the governor said, the man is a coward, and I hope he is prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. But once again, I urge you all, please do not use this as motivation to go out and find ways to say that all Muslims are bad yet again, as some will attempt to do. That is absolutely not necessary, and it's inexcusable, in my opinion. You can't group a religious standing and lump every person into this one group. If you actually go and look at the numbers, Village, you know, you can easily read that I believe it's like less than 0.1% are these radical, as they label them, radical Islamic terrorism. And I need a better word for that, obviously. But it's like less than 1%. So I believe there's roughly 3 billion Muslims worldwide. So you really gotta keep it in perspective here, okay? This guy was just a douche and an asshole, plain and simple. So what were your thoughts, Angie, when you saw this and all the coverage that it got? Like, I understand the coverage, but what were your thoughts when you saw this?
So I was on the phone with my deal, who lives in New York, when I got the text from one of my closest friends who lives in New York also, mm-hmm. that there was just an attack that happened in downtown Manhattan. And, you know, when I first read the news article, you know, of course, your first thought is always like, oh, what's the intention? Why did this happen? And then, you know, they immediately called it a terrorist attack. And but it wasn't until this morning that, you know, I got more information that, you know, he was connected to ISIS. You know, I feel like when these events happen, it's always like, because, you know, Cheeto Face used this as, like, this is why we shouldn't have chain migrations, mm-hmm. immigrations, and But I always just want to slap back and be like, this is why we shouldn't have white supremacists and capitalism and like all this is a symptom of people who've just been using their power, you know, as any means necessary. And then you have these groups that spawn off, you know, who tend to do, you know, pull out these hateful acts or, you know, become extremists. So, I mean, of course you can't, like, blame everything, but I'm going to always blame everything on capitalism and white supremacy. But that's, you know, when I see these things, that's what I really think of. I really always think like, dude, this is, we're just dealing with symptoms. We're never going to deal with the root. We're never going to fucking deal with the root of the problem. So I'm getting tired of this shit. Like, literally, I'm getting fucking tired. Like, I'm tired right now.
And I completely understand that. When you think about all of this, man, it's like, we can't discuss white supremacy and its terrorist acts, its terrorist effects on the worldwide or just, you know, U.S. wide. We always want to harp on when a brown person is involved, you know, specifically in the name of Islam. And again, Village, like I said, you know, when you really think about what's going on, you know, you're talking about less than 1% of Muslims actually follow this ideology of, you know, we're going to kill you, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. It's not as big as you think, you know. And again, if you really go and look at the numbers, if you look at actual numbers, you're more likely to be attacked by a Caucasian person versus have a terrorist act done by a Muslim or something else on in our country, at least. Now, I don't speak for the UK. I don't speak for other countries. But I know in the US, those are what the numbers actually say, right? But we don't focus on that. And that's what I find infuriating. We don't seem to focus on the fact that, yes, these people, these individuals are terrorists. But we can never say domestic terrorism and that it was a Caucasian person that tried to commit the terrorist act. And that's what bothers me. And that's where I think people need to really refocus their attention. You know, I'm not going to sit up here and say all white Americans are bad, because that's crap. And I'm never going to say that. That's not who I am. But what I am going to say is those issues need to be addressed as well. We have an issue with those that are doing this in the name of Islam, just like we have an issue with those that are here in America and doing it while goose-stepping and waving a Nazi flag. We have Americans in this country waving Nazi flags. That on Helena, the very flag that our that service members from World War II fought against, they're in the U.S. waving that very same flag. But no one seems to really be focused on that. And that's something that just blows my mind. We have Americans waving Nazi flags. We fought against these individuals in World War II. But they're here on our soil waving this very flag. But
yeah,
it's almost like, they're nothing, don't worry about them. No.
I think the reason why we're not worried about them is because we're, I think it's like incidents like this where you have an ISIS person. And I also read too that ISIS may not even claim, even though he did have a manifesto and like they found that he was working for ISIS, but they may or may not claim what just happened. But the point I'm trying to make is, we, besides the Charlottesville, that incident where they came in and the guy hit and killed that woman, I think ISIS, a lot of terrorist attacks have been linked to ISIS. So they have, they've compartmentalized the issue. Like, okay, so this is related to this. Where our attacks from white men have been solitary and hasn't been linked to anything else. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can they haven't been able to link them as white supremacists. Like, remember that shooting that happened in La Jolla?
Yes.
Where that black man shot predominantly black and Latino, but they all just said, well, it wasn't a racist thing. Like, how do you determine what's a not a racist act? You get what I'm saying?
I get exactly what you're saying.
How do you determine this? So, but not to get away from this whole, what I was saying is the whole thing with ISIS, and it's hard for me to look at these issues and compartmentalize them. I use that word because that's what we do in Western civilization. We do this in the medical field. We do this with everything. We always take the issue out, remove it from this holistic perspective of it being related to every fucking thing that's happened in the world. And we just put it over here and we're like, well, this is the issue right here. This ISIS has nothing to do with anything that the United States has created, because ISIS is their own thing. We didn't create this. I think we had some part in creating this extremist group, you know?
Of course.
And, you know, I have a historical context of other nationalist groups that have developed because of what U.S. has done. Again, I know we need to do our podcast about educating, but one of them is the nationalist movement that happened in Puerto Rico because of what United States has fucking done, you know? So when you don't see the context of why or something has developed the forms, you know, you just see these events as extremists, you know? It's the same thing with the Black Panther movement. Now, COINTELPRO, of course, infiltrated this and demolished any empowering group that was, you know, the FBI. Look this up, guys. COINTELPRO, the FBI, you know, released the records years ago. It's actually because this activist group broke in 1997. Again, another podcast educational part. But anyways, the point I'm trying to make is we have these groups that start, and then the U.S. doesn't like it, and they come in and they fuck it up. Mm-hmm. And then you have people who start to become angry and then do hateful things because of the U.S.
Exactly.
So it's hard for me to look at these ISIS incidents and not put them together with what U.S. has. It's hard for me to anything, everything I'm reading, anything I read on the news. It's so hard for me not to be like, well, this is possibly the root of the problem, you know? I can't look at an issue and think it's a singular issue. Like, oh, these are just bad people. And then leave it. Like, I need to understand, like, how did it get to this point? And I've read articles how it gets to the point. And sometimes it sounds like conspiracy theories. But some of them are facts, and how U.S. has been a kind of a factor of how ISIS became who they are now. You know? So, But I think that's what makes me really frustrated about the news, frustrated about mass media, is they portray these incidents in singular instead of looking at, like, the bottom and this the root of it. And this ties right back to what I was saying about the incidents of when white males kill people. They always link it up to, oh, this is mental illness. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're quick to find, like, a root issue. Where in ISIS, they're like, oh, this is just ISIS. Without giving us more background information as why ISIS is ISIS. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And why these men have mental issues. But you get what I'm saying? Like, we do this for this. And then, you know, like, the same thing in the medical field, you know? You come in with a headache. And we don't look into other reasons why possibly you're having a headache. You know what I'm saying? We're just like, oh, you have a headache. It doesn't look like you have any threatening diseases. Take this medication. And then you come back in because now you're taking this medication. And now you have another symptom. Everything is symptomatic. We're not dealing with roots of issues.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to get at.
Exactly. And we're so focused on, like you said, we're focused on the surface. It's the, okay, what happened now? You know, this is the now, what's happening now. Well, what started the roots? Where's the roots? Where did this tree of hate, you know, come from? You know, let's address that issue first. If we get to that issue of where is, okay, here's Slink. I'm going to go ahead and invite him on. what, you know, that root, like we have a root, all of us do, right? That we all start from as human beings, rather. We develop into who we become. We become this, we become that. But if something bad happens at that root level, well, guess what? Those roots are still going to grow with all this evil, all this hate. And guess what? Now you're able to pass that same logic and mentality on to the to other people. So this is why this stuff will never end. It's at the root. You have to go down to the dirt and heal the root. That's where this is all going to heal. Until we can do that as a society, like fuck doing it as a country. We have to do this globally. We have to heal the root. If not, man, this is just going to keep happening over and over again. This it's is gonna it. Keep on.
And we're going to keep on treating it like Band-Aids by building walls and banning countries. Like, it's just going to be more divisive instead of, like, really owning up to our fucking shit. And it really does start at a basic level of us. Like, yes, they've withheld this information from us, and it's hard. Don't get me wrong. Like, I have access to peer review articles, and it's still hard for me to find information on these peer review websites because it takes a certain way of wording, or, you know what I'm saying? The information is out there, but it requires a lot of diligence and a lot of work and a lot of, and then discernment. So it makes it, like, it's so hard to get sometimes information and good information. So people give up. Because this is not information that's given to us, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is, so we grow up, if kids are raised with this news, with this information, they're going to grow up hating ISIS and thinking all Muslims are this way, you know? And, but not being educated that in the 1600s, when they were coming over, that they, if you mentioned you were Muslim trying to get on the ship to come to the Americas, they were drowning your ass. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's just, it's like it's this constant perpetuation of hate and the other. And then, of course, you had some asshole sociologists who went over to the Middle East and to Asia continent and, you know, started the Orient, you know, that the stereotype of the Orient, and started to make them look like the other, like they've done to everyone else in other countries that are not white Anglo-Saxon, and Anglo-Saxon is predominantly British. So this is what I'm saying, like, we have to go backwards. So it's so hard for me to just look at this issue and isolate it. I can't do that, you know? So when I look at bombings or anything, I'm always like, there's something more. And we'll never really know the root of it. Or we, you know, we'll know some of it if we really research it, but we'll never really truly know all of it. No. And it's just going to keep dividing us.
Yeah, that's just a fact. To those that were affected, I don't want to harp on this too much. I got a little feedback. I don't know why. But anyways, what I don't want to do is take away from those that lost their lives, those that were affected by this. You know, that's not what this is about. This is simply saying, hey, the root is deeper. This is deeper. We have to figure this out as a globe, not as Americans, not as Iranians or the French or European or anything else. Globally, we have to figure out a way that we can come together and do this and coexist together. That's what this is all about. So in closing here, Village, to those that were affected in New York, the Village offers its deepest condolences. Angie, I am glad to hear that your people are okay. You know what I mean? I know you got family in NY. But like I said, we've got to get to a deeper understanding of what is going on. It is not what the mass media is saying. And I'm not going to sit up here and say fake news, but there's it's so many more levels to this. There's so much more that we need to figure out. And until we figure that out, we're going to keep seeing these incidents. So, you know, until this happens, we're going to see more. But again, deepest condolences here. So Angie, let's move on to this next topic here. These sexual harassment and sexual assault charges are coming in like I hate to say, you know, use as reference, but like a New York minute after what just happened, but things are coming in. I mean, there are people, there are women that are reporting stuff left and right. Mm-hmm. I am just like, wow. You know, Hollywood looks bad.
Yeah.
So.
They should be fucking looking bad. I mean, remember when Corey Feldman.
On The View.
We talked about this before. Mm-hmm. But I think he's coming back out again with the list of people. And it just makes me. And it just, you know, of course, upsets me that Barbara Wawa, was like, oh, how dare you? I mean, I'm paraphrasing this in a horrible way, but pretty much condemning Corey Feldman for going live saying that, hey, these are pedophilia rings that are wood. And but she's like, how do you demolish? Like, how do you do this to a good company? You know, pretty much defending Hollywood, you know? Mm-hmm. And then they made his life a living hell. They did, you know? They did the same thing with McGowan. What's her name? The one that was like the predominant, she's been the most, Rose McGowan. I'm sorry.
Is it Rose McGowan?
If I'm messing this name up. But she's the one who came out about the Harvey Weinstein thing. It was like the most, she's been most vocalized. And when she came out about what he did to her in her past, you know, the police had a warrant for her arrest. Like, they harassed her. So this is why people don't come out, because they make their life a living hell. When you come out and you are saying something that, you know, you're speaking the truth, you're going to have really bad repercussions. So what I'm trying to understand is, how is it that this caught, like how did this finally catch? And now more people can come out. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. You know, I know with Bill Cosby, when it happened like a couple of years ago, and that was like a shock factor to a lot of people. And then it was like it started to steamroll. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's like, how did it get to this? Because I know he's been like a little festering pimple. Because Harvey Weinstein, people have been making jokes about him for years now. Like, ha ha ha, making reference, like making light of his sexual assaults, which is sad that people have been laughing at these jokes, not quite understanding like that these were serious things, and women, and you know, women were being raped by him.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I hope more things start coming out, because I'm sure that whole industry is just based off of this, you know? Like, I'm not really that surprised that it's taken this long for all this shit to come out. But what's going to happen? You know what I'm saying? Because I think more and more people are going to be, it's just going to be like it's going to get to a point where it's like, well, everybody, you know what I'm saying? Like, wow, this is a systemic issue throughout United States, you know. Donald Trump was accused, and of course everyone says it's not true or whatever. But I think that's what worries me too, with all of these allegations coming out. I'm afraid that there is going to be some people who are not telling the truth to offset this. Do you get what I'm saying? Like,
exactly.
You know, there's going to be, because you know, there's going to be people that they're going to pay off and be like, yo, say that this happened, and then say it didn't happen. So now we can start like doubting people who are coming out. You get what I'm saying? Like,
I get exactly what you're saying, because they did the same thing with Bill Cosby. You know, they did the same. It was some of the allegations against Bill Cosby were not true. It was some women coming forward, and they were just, some women were looking for their 15 minutes of fame. That's basically what it was. So that's why I always try to wait on certain subjects, especially something like this, because this is huge. And I had so many different articles and links and stuff like that. Like, for one, Dustin Hoffman, he's being accused. What's the guy, the director? Ratner.
Ratner, like 16 plus. Yeah. Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
Which really upset me that he came out of the closet so conveniently right before it happened. That was really fucked up.
That blew me away. And let me tell you something. That bugged me so much. And even Wanda Sykes said it perfectly. You cannot use the gay flag or the banner to now try to protect yourself. That is not how it works, man.
That's disgusting. And it was really weird because, let me tell you something, when I saw the article, I remember looking at Daniel and being like, huh. Like, I already knew he was, I felt he was gay. You know, I felt that energetically. But then I said, something doesn't feel right about this. I said that. And then the next day I found out, well, yeah, because this motherfucker probably knew that these allegations are going to come out. And he, I don't know what the fuck he was thinking. Like, oh, I molested or sexually harassed a boy, a 14-year-old boy. But if I come out as gay, maybe it won't be that bad. It's like, I don't know. Whatever. I can't understand his rationale. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, but then there's, like, there's other directors who have, like, 200-plus allegations against them. Yeah, I think it's going to keep on being more and more. And you know what? And men are coming out saying it, too, that they've been sexually harassed. And, you know, which is good. I mean, because men have a harder time speaking about it. So I hope that this, you know, helps those who are, have been victims to actually start. Because, you know, sometimes these victims become predators themselves. And that worries them.
Yeah.
So if you
hey, Angie, give me 1 second. I'm going to refresh the page, okay?
What?
All right, Village. So I'm refreshing the page because I'm having some kind of some sound issues, and Slink is having a few issues trying to come on board as well. So I'm refreshing the page. Hopefully this will get him going. All right, so we have Anhelana back, and I am coming back up as well. Angie with the dimples here. See them dimples, girl. We see them dimples, girl.
I was like, I guess I'm by myself. Hi, guys.
Yep. Okay, so Slink is trying to get in on the action, guys. Okay, well, reprompt. There we go. Let's just try this again. So anyways, yeah. At this point, you know, I'm really hoping that everyone comes out with their stories, man, because this will continue. Again, this is another issue that will continue. Why? Because men believe that they can do whatever they want. That's just the nature of how men think, right? They think they can do what they want and get away with it. But then when it all comes and hits the fan, it's like, oh, well, what, you know, but it's going to be mind-boggling to see how all this stuff pans out, how this will truly affect Hollywood. So in the long term of this, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing how this is going to play itself out, because there's a lot of people. There's going to be a lot of people, a lot of stories, a lot of accusations, a lot of trials, a lot of different things. So, you know, all we can do is stand by and see how this eventually pans itself out. All right, so let's move on here to this next topic here. And this is the one that kind of burned me a little bit. I've been kind of holding off on talking about it because I really wanted to get you on it. But the opioid epidemic, opioid epidemic. Newsflash, Village, people of color have been dealing with this issue for quite some damn time now. Welcome. You know, welcome. Hey, hello. We've been here. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to even say. You know, we've literally had thousands upon thousands of families being broken up because of drugs in the black community, in the Puerto Rican community, Mexican community. It wasn't an epidemic then. It was just throw them in jail, right? Let's not get them treatment. Let's just throw them in jail. It's easier, yeah. Right? That whole industrial prison complex, let's just keep that thing going because that's a moneymaker. But the minute it became an issue for white America, all of a sudden it's like, we got to get this fixed. Like, oh my God, you know, what's going on, right? It just blows me away when these programs pop up when all of a sudden it's an issue for white America. And that's one of the things that I absolutely hate, that when something affects white America, all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, we got to fix this. Well, we got to do this. We got to do that. Well, what were you, why couldn't we fix it when it was an issue for us? So, Angie, before I go on a rant, tangent, whatever, give me your thoughts. Like, the opioid epidemic, why now?
So I'm confused about this right now because there's this documentary, and I'm trying to remember what it's called. It's like called This Is Not My Home or Our Broken House or... I'm trying to remember the name right now. I'm really bad with remembering things. That is a side effect of PTSD, people. our memory goes to shot. But it's like, it's about the drug crisis, and it walks you through how LSD became, opium became illegal, and that was because when the Chinese immigrated to the United States, the Chinese were using opioids. And if you don't know this, but the U.S. Really discriminated against Chinese to the point that they kicked them out of the U.S. They actually made a legislation against them, and that's why a lot of Chinese are down in South and Central America. And then it happened with the weed, marijuana. What was it called? The term that they used to call that term. Well, anyways, it was because the Mexicans were, you know, using marijuana. So they wanted to make it look bad because Mexicans were using it. And then when cocaine came into the scene and black people started to use it, they're like, oh, hell no. So let's introduce crack cocaine, you know, which was getting more a higher felony charge when it's actually cut with other things, and cocaine is like a pure and more expensive drug. And then meth happened in the 1990s, and so they believe that war was on the poor white American community. So these stages of what these drug epidemics have been happening have been, you know, a race issue. But then it became a class issue in the 90s and 2000s. So we've been having an opioid issue for a while. And then we've had it, so we've had an issue, of course, in the military. But I don't quite understand why this is seeming like a crisis now. Like, I don't know if this is their new war on drugs. I don't know what's happening. But I do know that Sheckler is the family. Sheckler is a family who is benefiting, who's making money off of this opioid crisis. They're the family that owns the opioid. Mm. It's one family.
I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, look it up. It's Sheckler's. Democracy Now! Has a really good report on it. And then there's some legislation that you can see that has caused this opioid epidemic, of course, being lackadaisian on some issues because the pharmaceutical companies run the show. I mean, pharmaceutical companies have had their hand in rewriting a lot of our medical books for our doctors, you know. There's an issue. This is when privatized corporations come in and take over because they are a money-making machine. New Jersey right now is actually trying to sue one of the pharmaceutical companies, because they are like, look, you're responsible for our epidemic happening here in Jersey. The same fucking bullshit happened in Puerto Rico when they had the pharmaceutical companies that come down to PR. And then when they left, we had an opioid crisis. And they're like, oh, shame on you. It's like, go fuck yourself, governor. You're the one who let them in here in the first place. And now you're angry. And so probably the same thing with Jersey. But you get what I'm saying? Like, this, again, these are symptoms to a root of an issue. These are symptoms to a root of a problem. So you're targeting a group of individuals who are already struggling because of the institution of racism, classism, sexism, and all that shit. And then you are very vulnerable, and then you can't afford healthcare, and then you need to alleviate your pain or your mental illness, and you get this is just like a cycle. So yeah, I don't know why this has become like something. I don't know if it's because it's another thing that you can make money off of. You know, I don't know.
You know, I don't know how to call it anymore. I don't know. I like I said, I think I'm more irritated at the fact that all of a sudden it's a major issue. That's my biggest concern. Yeah. I hear everything that you're saying, but I'm just so sick of it. I'm sick of hearing it's now an opioid crisis, and you can literally see the part of the country that's affected. It's like middle, you know, the Midwest and stuff like that. And it's like, well, if you come out to the West Coast or even to the East Coast and stuff like that, this has been going on for quite some time. So, yeah. And I'll say this again, until it affects white America, all of a sudden, you know, no one sees the issue, right? Yeah. I take it all the way back, and this is an example that I love to use. If you think about the civil rights movement, when you think about it, black and brown people were marching for civil rights, right? But when white allies decided to march with them and the cops whooped their ass and were killing white protesters, all of a sudden government stepped in and said, no, we can't have this now.
Yeah.
That's when it becomes an issue. When it affects white America, then it becomes an issue. And I think that's my biggest thing that burns me about all this. I don't have a problem with people having addictions and needing help. That's not my issue. Everyone needs help from time to time. Cool. But it cannot become an epidemic when it's a specific group of people that's being affected. Especially if there are people that look like me, people that look like you, that have been affected by this for decades, possibly longer than that, right? It should not become an epidemic once it affects white America. That's my problem with all this. I don't have an issue with people needing help. I am saying treat us all the same across the board. And until that happens, I'm going to keep saying, hey, this is an issue that occurred because all of a sudden it became an issue in this particular subgroup. That's what the issue is for me. So, do you have anything else before we move on to our next topic on this one?
Mm-mm.
Okay. And this next one, I wanted to just get it real quick. The Utah nurse, we all saw her. I don't have her name off the top of my head. But the Utah nurse that did her job, I'm only going to say thank you. And she reached $500,000 settlement. And rightfully so. If you guys don't know about this young nurse, she was actually an Olympic competitor, I believe. She finished up with her career, went to nursing school, became a nurse, and she refused to draw blood on a patient. And I forget the full circumstances of the story, but what happened was, like I said, she refused to draw the blood. The cop became angry. He grabbed her, pretty much tried to arrest her, and the cop ended up being fired, thankfully, and they settled out of court, and she received $500,000 settlement. And you know what? I'm very happy for her. I'm very happy that she got this money, because that cop was an asshole. He was straight up, he was an asshole for what he did. And I'm very happy. So I had nothing on that. I just wanted to let people know what happened with that. I don't know if you have anything you wanted to say about it. I just wanted to throw that out there. All right, let's move on here to this next segment, knee-jerk reactions. The first one, Angelan, I want to throw at you. Girl, I'm excited about this, but I'm also terrified. There is a large number of Muslim Americans running for public office in light of the Trump administration. Have you heard about that? Yes. I first saw the article on BuzzFeed, and I was like, no way. I'm like, so I got to reading the article. I got to reading and reading. And the problem that these Muslim Americans are having, or Americans, I'm not going to say Muslim Americans, Americans, the problem that they're having is they have to approve, they have to prove their Americanness, for lack of a better word.
Oh, wow.
That's the issue that they're encountering. You know, they're seeing, there's, like I said, a large number, and I'm going to go ahead and pull up an article and screen share with you guys, because I just absolutely love what's happening. And let's see here.
Go ahead. What's American is like going to another country and colonizing them and killing their people? Is that how they have to prove?
Oh, here you go. Oh, just step into it. Step into it. This is why I have you here.
As fucking a leotard and disrespect the American flag that way. I mean, what do you want to do? Eat burgers, hamburgers, and I mean, what is your Americanness?
Here we go. All right, so this is a story I found on the Independent. BuzzFeed link was not all what I wanted, so I went and found more stories. But like I said, more Muslim Americans running for office in U.S. because civil rights. What the hell is that? Because civil rights are under attack under Donald Trump. When your civil rights are under attack, grab a hold of the Constitution and assert yourself. Story by Peter Walker from Independent. This is a website I love going to. So here we go. More Muslim people are members of ethnic minorities are running for office in the U.S. because their civil rights are under attack under Donald Trump's administration. New American Leaders Project, the NALP, chief executive, if I'm saying this wrong, forgive me, Sayu Hawani, who said more people from ethnic minority backgrounds are going through her training programs with a view to running for public elections, and that the increase in Islamophobia was prompting a mobilization. Donald Trump's promise of a wall at the Mexico border and his immigration ban prompted protests at airports, a day without immigrants demonstration, and marches across the globe. Latest FBI figures show a 67% increase in anti-Muslim hate crimes between 2014 and 2015, from 184 to 257, higher than any annual total since 9/11 aftermath. You know, this in itself, right here, this is why we need a more diverse society, why we need more diversity in politics. We need this. We need Muslims.
I'm tired of fucking white men. It's mainly white men who rule the fucking... the House of Representatives, like Congress, like they're mainly, you know, mm-hmm. These motherfuckers are legislating our fucking sexual reproduction. Like they're telling us what we can do with our fucking bodies. Like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like someone going up to you and telling you how to do your fucking hair and they have straight fucking hair. Like, how the fuck would you know? So, yeah, we need a diverse group of people, because when you have no clue about another group and all you know is the extremist part of them,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're not going to make a very well-educated, round-educated, laws or anything, you know? It's just, yes, we do need diversity. And I wish I had the patience to run for office. And I wish I believed in the system enough to allow us to change that, you know? But I feel if we still have privatized corporations ruling, I feel those are the ones, it's plutocracy. I feel they're the ones who are really running the world, you know, with all their lobbyists. Like, they're the ones who I feel have more power than any congressman or member or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what we have to remember. Like, they're more powers that be behind the curtains that you will never hear about. Like I said, like the Sheckler family who is benefiting off of this opioid crisis. Like, there are people behind the scenes who are benefiting from this stuff.
And at this point, you know, if you think about it, it's not even really behind the scenes anymore. You know, people, the internet is such a powerful tool, man. It's so powerful. And you can get out there and listen and find this stuff and look it up. And you'd be amazed at what you can do. That's why when people and this is something that else that irritates me quickly. When people literally put stuff on social media and it's just talking out their ass. I'm like, a simple fucking Google search will give you all the answers you need. Like, it's not like when you and I were kids, and I'm not going to date myself either because whatever, but we had to go to the library and look at the damn, pull the little thing out and look and find a reference to go find a book and then go and go through the book and figure out what we had to do. This was how we wrote papers back then, kids. So when people tell me that they talk out their butt, you know, I'm just like, God, like, I am so quick when I see something negative or false on social media. I am so quick to go and find several articles and links to show you how wrong you actually are. That's just the kind of, that's just how petty I actually am. So that's just me. But again, Village, that's off topic. You know, I am all for this. I'm all for these Muslims coming in and doing this. I'm excited. I tried to do a quick, when I found this article, I tried to do a quick search if there's anybody running in San Diego. Didn't see anything, but I'm sure there are some. We have a large Muslim Somali population in San Diego. So, you know, not as large as some places. Like, I believe Minneapolis has a large, like the largest Somali community in the U.S., but nevertheless, San Diego has a large Somali group here as well. Go ahead, sis.
Oh, no, I was just letting you know, like, City Heights has a really good organization. It's head up by, like, a Muslim group, but they're like, an activist group, and they kind of, their name, I can't remember their name right now. But they hold some really educational classes. One girl informed me that someone was educating them about Puerto Ricans. And I was like, wow. You know, so there is ways you can get involved with the community to get to, you know, understand Muslims more on a level, on a personal level, rather than a mass media level.
So,
you know, it's just the argument what bothers me so much about people freaking out about Muslims. I came from a Christian home, you know, I mean, we're not Christians anymore. But when I say there is no difference, I'm talking about you have extremists in everything, you know what I'm saying? And there are some things that. Yeah, I read the Bible twice. That really was like a little question, you know, that's like, and then when you study religion and know where it's come from and what Christians have been responsible for in the past, the Crusades, you know, and how, I mean, they're responsible. I mean, some of the Presbyterians and, I mean, no, not Presbyterians. Help me. Not Presbyterian.
Lutheran?
No, they start with a P. maybe it's not Pentecostal. Okay, so it's Presbyterian. Like, you know, they were responsible. Some of them were responsible for the Salem witch trials. Like, they have a history of killing people. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So this really aggravates me when people, oh, this religion is like, oh, oppressive to women, or that, like, oh, so was Christianity. You know, women aren't allowed to be priests in the cult, in the preachers in the Catholic Church. They're not allowed to be priests. Fuck, the man can't even be married to them. And the reason they made that was for tax reasons and money issues. But that's beside the point. But what I'm saying is, if you want to look at all, you know, if you're gonna attack one religion, you better look at all the fucking religions and what they're all capable of doing too. Is what I'm trying to say. Is we focus on always Muslim and taking things out of context and making it worse. But that's in every religion. Like, and I've dealt with my oppression in a Christian religion. There's a lot of things that really fucking infuriated me with my experience as a non-denomination Christian, and I can talk about the stories for a long fucking time. Mm-hmm. So do not attack Muslims and say, oh, they're oppressive to women. Yeah, so was Christianity with my experience. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And yeah. Had a little bit of a race issue. And you know what I'm saying? Like, they're and homophobic. And, you know, like, we can just go on. So that's what really makes me upset when people attack other religions. It's a very weak argument.
Agree 100%. It is a super weak argument to argue someone's religious choice. Like, personally, I've been kind of... been reading up on omniism. I believe that there's beauty in all religions. Like, I just how I feel, you know. I can't say that I'm a devout Christian, because I'm not. I'm just not. But there are pieces of Christianity that I think are good. Just like there are pieces of Islam that I think are amazing. There are pieces of Orthodox Jews that I believe is amazing, and Buddhist, and all. I think there's beauty in all of it. So, you know, that's something that I'm personally venturing into, and you know, I'm gonna go from there. So it's just, you know, it's just.
I think I'm an ominous too. I think you're right. If you look at my house, I have a lot of ominous things. But I know. But I think that's the beauty of coming together. And not culturally appropriating things, but coming together and respecting each other's perspectives, because then you can start to see the world in a different way. Like, I feel like we can come together and we can start a puzzle piece. You know, I really believe we're all connected. I really believe that energetically. And I feel like we all have an answer for something, you know? I don't think one person carries all the answers. I think we are a part of a puzzle. It's much like that movie, M. Night Shyamalan. I'm sorry, I'm butchering his name.
But, M. Night Shyamalan.
Huh?
M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah. The water lady, or the lady in the water.
Lady in the water.
Yeah, and how everyone played a role. Like, everyone was a part of this puzzle piece. I feel that's the same thing with us as a world and as a collective. We are all each other's puzzle piece for something. There's this really beautiful thing that I learned about when I was in Oahu. I went to the sugar plantation because another thing I will talk about when we do our education. But anyways, in the sugar plantation, there was other people from other groups that were there. None of them spoke the language. They all had their different languages. So they came up with the language pidgin. And then they learned to start sharing their food. So each one brought something to the table. And that created the local, like, community, the new local community, because of all of these immigrants from other places being trucked in, you know, boated in to work on a sugar plantation. So... So this is what I wish our community can be, you know, and there is parts of it like that, you know, where we come together and we take from each other's, you know, beliefs and hear and like, oh yeah, that I really resonate with that. And making it into something more, you know? I hope we can come to that time of coming together and honor each other's faith and experiences, mm-hmm. and creating something bigger instead of taking something and pushing the person away and saying, I like this and I don't like you, but I like this and I'm going to run with it and make money off of your shit, you know?
Yeah.
I'm talking about like having a collective consciousness and having a collective community and coming together, because I really believe we're part of a bigger puzzle.
Agreed, 100%. I totally believe that we are part of a bigger piece. And once you realize how small of the piece you actually are, like, yeah. You're a small piece.
Like, microscopic.
Yes. Like, you're you know, and I hate to go biblical, but if you really think about this, a specific verse, like, your life is but a twinkling of an eye. Or not twinkling of an eye, but like, just it's poof. It's here and it's gone. You know?
Yeah.
People don't realize the earth, how old the planet Earth is. We don't know how old our solar system is. We don't know any of that stuff realistically.
We can thank Christianity for that.
Right. Like, I remember growing up as a kid and believing that, you know, the planet's only 2,000 something years old and
because
stuff like
Christianity.
That. Yeah, I remember thinking that. And now as an adult, I'm like, it ain't no way in hell. There's no way. I'm sorry. And another thing, off topic, Village, I refuse to believe we are the only ones out there. I refuse to believe that.
I refuse to believe that. But I also believe that we're possibly a part of a simulation. But that should be another talk.
That's a way deeper podcast. Yeah. That in itself is just a conversation that, yeah, it's going to require some special meds.
We should have a podcast going down the rabbit hole.
Hey, we should do that. You're right. But yeah, in closing on that topic, you know, yeah, I'm really hoping to see all these Muslims step up, and I'm hoping that people will at least listen to what they have to say. You know, there are Muslims in this country who denounce what these people are doing day in and day out, but they're not heard. I would like to see one of them get the nod and get up there and do something about it and really say something. That's what I'm hoping to see. So let's just hit this one last topic real quick, and we'll call it a show. I'm going to save this other one for Friday's show. I think Chance is going to want to like really bite off into that one. But let's talk about this. Papa John's is blaming the NFL players for his failing revenue. I didn't really want to have too much to say about it. I have something to say about it. You're a complete ass. Like, you actually should be a Village idiot. That's how I feel.
I don't have time for shit. I can't stand that guy.
Your revenue is falling because your pizza sucks.
I was gonna say,
because
your fucking pizza sucks.
Your pizza sucks.
I got food poisoning when I was 13 years old. I was 10 years old. I was in South Carolina. I remember. It was on Easter Sunday.
Man, let me say this. The last time I had Papa John's was probably 2001, like my second year of active duty. Yeah. And I was just like, and it was crazy because folks was like, do you know where you live? I'm like, yeah, I live in San Diego. They was like, there is a million other pizza joints that are way better than this franchise. And so when you actually get to eating around San Diego, and if you guys ever come to San Diego, hit me up. I will tell you where to go to get the best everything. Fa, pizza, Chinese, Korean barbecue. You let me know. I'm your man. I will send you the best spots. But what I'm saying is, I say all that to say, this person your product is not failing because of the NFL players. Your product is failing because your product sucks. Your product is not very good. So at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, you can push and blame all you want, and you'll have all the trumpets on Fox News or Faux News supporting you, ranting and raving, when the truth of the matter is your product sucks. It's not very good. And you can quote me. I don't give a damn.
Yeah. I think you always, like, try to find the blame in everything. And this is how I, like, believe in karma, and I believe in energetic. Like, he's done some fucked up shit. He said some fucked up shit. I think he was a Trump supporter.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So I just feel that it's just people don't want to support him because of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it could be, like, numerous of reasons, but I don't know. I'm just hoping that things, like, finally, like, justice will start to be served. Like, there's, like, will be this, you know, like, this circular, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. Finally. Because I'm just tired of seeing fucked up people rich and succeeding, you know? I'm just fucking tired of it. I'm fucking sick and tired of it. And if this man supports Trump and believes the shit that he's, I can't believe I said his name, is like behind him, then I don't, then yeah, of course I don't want you to succeed because you are part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You're part of the fucking problem. Like, so anyways, that's, I'm sure, another talk for another day.
But yeah.
I'm just hoping karma is really happening now.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, so Village, you guys have heard our thoughts. I have two quick Village idiots that you want to hit those real quick, or you got 5 more minutes for me, Angie?
Yeah.
You got 5 minutes? All right, we'll do some quick Village idiots, and we'll call it a night. I got two stories. I only need two tonight. This first one here, let's go ahead. Let me screen share with you guys because I just thought the shit was hilarious. I just thought it was hilarious. I did. I don't give a damn. 50 Cent celebrates last child support payment. 50 Cent, if you follow hip-hop, if you follow anything like that, you'll know that 50 Cent and his oldest son, 50 Cent and his oldest son, they have a beef. They hate each other. Whatever. I don't know what really happened. I didn't follow it that close. But 50 Cent celebrated his last child support payment by having a party. And this is the attendee list. He called it a child support release party, Friday 13th, Club Lust, 1 a.m., happy hour drinks on me. Tom Petty is alive. He wrote, ladies with no kids, free admission. Ladies who didn't collect child support, free admission.
Oh, no. This guy's horrible.
Dude, I read this. I'm like, oh, 50. Like, I mean, from what I understand, him and his son have a really bad relationship. I just found this funny. So I'm like, damn. I remember growing up and women were having divorce parties. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember that was the thing.
That's good. I mean, that's different. Divorce parties, but, like, celebrating your child support payment, like, come on. Not okay with that.
Yeah, I just, look, like I said, I had to just throw this one in there. Damn, like, just the invitation list, I was like, wow, man, that's just beyond me. Like, okay, even if you... I don't know. Maybe because I have young kids. I have a 9 and a 6. Maybe because I'm gonna do whatever it takes to make it work between me and my kids. Maybe that's my mentality. You know what I mean? That's just me. I'm not him. I don't know him like that. So there it is.
Story or anything, but I do know of a girlfriend that is struggling with life right now because she has a guy who he won't pay for her child support, and she's doing it on her own. You know. That she raised her own son and everything. It's very sad and upsetting. So
yeah, and I'm kind of in a similar thing.
Enjoying his life and doing his own fucking thing, mm-hmm. while she has to endure sexual harassment all the time, racism, sexism, to make ends meet, just to help her child out, you know, and make things better for them. Like, that's not cool.
Yeah, it's not, and I was dealing with something similar to that. I'm very blunt and honest. My oldest son is not my biological son, but I adopted him about 2 years ago. And I remember, you know, Chanel going through the runaround with the sperm donor. I remember that. And I'm like, wow, like this just, it should never be this hard. If you ever helped create this, you kind of need to be there financially. You know, it's just what it is. Like I said, this to me just stuck out to me because I was like, damn, this dude had a party because he ended child support. So I'll leave it at that. I'm going to go ahead and
go ahead. I'm just fucking pissed at him. Ladies who didn't collect child support, like, I have so much anger towards you right now, 50 Cent. Like, what the fuck? Like, these women have to do it by themselves, raise their own fucking kid, while men can go and do whatever the fuck they want, and you don't pay, like, I can't even fathom this right now. Like, this is fathom. Yeah. I'm so tired, Village.
Village
Idiot has become my, like, you know what, I fucking never liked your music anyway.
Oh my God! Just put a little extra on it, huh?
I know, like I'm anybody to him. But when I am somebody, you need to look at my old videos. They're gonna fucking see this shit.
That's right. Let them know.
I don't look your way when I'm walking by. Like, I don't fucking know you.
Yeah. Okay, so this is one that I just am like. I had a WTF moment, and I just said, okay, this is something that I'll never try. Come on, screen share. Computer's tripping tonight. No, cancel. No. Stop sharing. Okay, here. All right, let me pull this up the right way. Okay. Yeah, I was trying to pull this one up the right way here. Last story, let's see if it works now. There we go. All right, so vagina-flavored beer made from models' vaginal yeast. I don't know I don't even know how this came to be, like who said this is the new thing. I don't know what to even say about this. I don't know, Angie. I don't know. But how does this come about? Do you have an answer for me, Angie?
No. I don't know what to, I don't know what to feel and think about this, but all I can think of is voodoo. You know the power of our yoni?
The power we carry?
Okay, yoni, you see that? The word yoni is a Sanskrit for vagina. Really quick, vagina comes from the word from the Romans when they used to collect the swords, or the sheath of a sword is called vagina. So when they used to go and rape and pillage women, they said they were collecting vaginas. So I hate the word vagina because it's a very derogatory statement. But anyways, so yoni, a lot of women have been using the word yoni, and that's what is on here. And that's from the Hindu goddesses. And that means, that's Sanskrit for the vagina. So it's a much more beautiful name for something that gives power, because it's a powerful, you know, our yonis are powerful. So all that went through my mind was, no, like, that's very sacred. There's a lot of power we carry in our sexual reproductive areas.
Mm-hmm.
I as a person who's into spiritualism and understands that there's voodoo, there's ways like, you know, girls who put, you know, period blood in their food to...
I've heard of that.
And, you know, like, I just, this doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah. Yeah, this is one, I will never have this beer.
That's powerful. That's just, no, I don't know. Something doesn't, it doesn't fit right with me, my soul.
Yeah. No, I agree 100%. I just wanted to address it real quick. I'm like, this is a beer that will never touch my lips. I don't give a damn. It's not going to happen, y'all. Nope.
Yeah, it's nothing like, it's not that it's something disgusting. It's nothing like that. It's something that there's more to it is what I'm saying. There's something sacred and beautiful about our reproductive system, and to just make beer out of it, like, that's a lot of power you're putting into a fucking beer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Hops is a powerful medicine. And, you know, and we put that in beer, too. But I'm just saying, like I said, this is a whole nother... We need a rabbit hole podcast.
That's right. We need the rabbit hole podcast. I agree.
Because when I see things, I don't see it as a superficial. I see, like, very deep things. I see more to it. I don't just see, like, oh, it's from the vagina. Ew, gross. That's not what I'm seeing. I'm seeing, like, layers of issues with this.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with it being from a vagina. It has nothing to do with, as I'm saying, superficially. When, like, everyone's like, oh, gross, you know? Like, no, I'm seeing it from another perspective.
Yeah.
But I know you did your Village Idiots and everything, but did you hear about that Hartford student?
Oh, I didn't know if you wanted to address that or not, because I saw that and she literally tried to, or she did, she poisoned her roommate. She was taking her toothbrush and rubbing her anus, and what else was she doing? She was like rubbing period blood.
On her backpack, putting clam juice in her hair products, put like something in her face lotions. Like, this girl was horrible to her. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what provoked all this? And of course, the girl Jazzy was like, well, it's racism issue. But the other girl, white girl, was like, oh, she was horrible to me or some shit. I don't know. Whatever it is. This girl is evil for what she did. And she better be hoping that they ain't no witches hexing on her ass right now.
Yeah. Yeah. From last I heard, she was arrested. I only heard about the story through, what's the brother's name? I can't think of his name. Not DL. Community activist.
Sean King.
Yeah, Sean King. That's how I heard about the story.
Yeah, because he posted it about it.
Yeah, that's how I heard about it. I was just like, wow, this kind of stuff still happens. And of course, the young lady being accused, she said, oh, it's not about race, like you said. She said, oh, she was being mean to me and this, that, and the third. And I'm like, I don't give a damn.
So mean.
Like,
how it's always... I'm sorry, go ahead,
babe. All I gotta say is, if you don't agree with your roommate, how hard is it to go down to your RA and be like, hey, man, I gotta get the hell up out of here?
She did say they requested. There was in the article that they said that she did want to leave and they wouldn't let her.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so she started doing these horrible things to this girl.
Mm.
But I'm so confused. I'm sure there's more missing, but Jazzy, the black girl, was saying that she feels like her school did a poorly job of handling this issue, because she feels like if it was her doing it to the white girl, it would have been done. They would have crucified this girl.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So...
they would have chewed her alive, straight up.
Mm-hmm, they would have. But I just wanted to say that really quickly.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. All right, Aunt Helena, baby, how did they get a hold of you?
You can contact me on my email at dancingaurora, dancingaurora, at live.com. Dancingaurora at live.com. I'm on Google Plus at Anhalana Marie. And that is all.
Okay. Village, if you want to get a hold of me, you can email me at welcometothevillage@gmail.com. You can also get a hold of us via Twitter at W2TheVillage. I'm also at Enlighten My Mind, 619-202-1562. I am trying to figure out some courses, Angie, because when I say monetize the village, so I'm trying to find courses on like Udemy, try to learn how to monetize this. You know, like I'm just there. Like this is where I'm at. I don't want to work for anybody. I want to own mine and I want to work for my damn self. That's where I'm at in my life.
No, I'm with you. I don't want to work for no fucker, especially with the climate that we're in.
Yeah, like I'm 36 years old and I finally figured it out and this is where I'm at. So, yeah. Village, we are pushing and pushing, and you guys are going to see more and more stuff come the weekends. You're going to see me just promoting on weekends, because we're not doing well. Angie and I are going to sit down and figure out the show we're going to record on Sunday. We'll figure that out.
I'm just trying to finish my senior paper. And
no, trust me, you are fine. I remember that senior paper, and I remember almost quitting school because of that paper, okay? So you are just fine. Trust me.
That's why I'm so, like, mentally exhausted.
Hey, no problem. I appreciate you just coming in and we getting it done. So Village, like I said, you guys can get a hold of us like that. I'm working on the website. I'm just going to start contracting stuff out at this point because it just seems way easier. But as the saying goes, Village, we love you. We thank you. God bless you. You guys have a great night. Take care. Bye.
Au revoir.